Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, faint the breeze.
September 3rd, birthdays, among the famous people born today was Louis Sullivan, the great architect. You'll see a lot of his architecture, buildings still standing, well-constructed, well-designed, very aesthetic in places like Chicago, New York. He was born today. First black soprano made it to the Metropolitan Opera, Dorothy Maynard. She was born today. Alan Ladd, he didn't live too long. Remember him in Shame? He had a short life. I think he died in his 50s. And then one of the greatest of actress to come out of Greece, Irene Pappas. You must see her in, probably saw her in Z, the film about the subversion in Greece of the alleged communists and the colonel's takeover and the forcible abdication of King Constantine, who was actually related to the British royal family. There were a lot of Germans, Queen Victoria, mothers populated the houses of Europe with all of her children. And she starred in also Electra, a great film. Michael Kakayanis was the director. I recommend that film if you like the classics. And then we had Mitzi Gaynor, if you saw her in South Pacific. She was born today. And among the deaths, James I, who was the son of Mary, Queen of Scots. He was brought up, Mary, Queen of Scots was Catholic, and she tried to restore Catholicism to England, but she was double-crossed, and she spent many years locked up in a castle, and she was finally beheaded through treachery. Her son was separated from her, James I. He was brought up as a Protestant. Reportedly, he was a closet homosexual. He lived to about 90, which was very unusual in those days. His death was today. And then another Englishman, and the Irish hate this name, Oliver Cromwell, who executed Charles I, they called it the Glorious Revolution. And he was known as the Great Commoner, and probably one of the best things he did was to purge Parliament and said, you have sacked this, you couldn't even want a proper whorehouse. You guys are so corrupt. You have sat there too long. Go, I pray you. I think that's a rough assessment of what he said. And then Ho Chi Minh, you know, the Vietnam War, he died in 1969. And, of course, Ho Chi Minh tried to get the United States to back independence for North and South Vietnam, or what was Vietnam at the time, and or Indochina. And Ho Chi Minh, like a lot of the French colonial population that could, went to France to learn French culture, learn the language. He worked as, I think, a cook. And at the Versailles peace treaty, he tried to see President Wilson, who was so stuck up. That's what the problem with some of these pompous Presbyterians at that time. And he failed to get an audience with him, and so he became a revolutionary. And then we had Vince Lombardi, the great football coach of the Green Bay Packers, and it has a connection indirectly through Artie Funer, who was a trainer for Vince Lombardi and who was a witness and was also a World War II Marine. He was a witness in the Steve Neri case, which will not go away because it's cost the American taxpayer over $15 million. The cost is still going on. And also up on Amicus Veritas YouTube, we're updating the video and the documents on that case. It's a case that has a national importance, affects every U.S. Navy, every U.S. military service, man and woman, and we'll get into that some more on our YouTube site. And then also Richard the Lionhearted, who was also reportedly in the closet, See the Lion in Winter, great film. He was crowned in Westminster today. And then today, in 1783, the Treaty of Paris was signed, which ended the American Revolutionary War. And then in 1826, this is another first for our U.S. Navy, the USS Vincennes was the first U.S. Navy ship to circumnavigate the globe. Excuse me. And then among the other events today, we had... Yes, California. We've got this problem in California where the North up here thinks we should split the state and let L.A. and San Diego go their way and be the southern part of the state. But in 1849, after the gold rush, there was a constitutional convention at Monterey, California, which was the old capital seat of Spanish California. And then in 1917, the first cannery was set up, and its objective, its purpose, was to supply canned goods to the Royal Navy. So, so much for bully beef. And then this is one of the, this is a little publicized, horrible event involving Woodrow Wilson's administration, who was a racist, a so-called progressive, and a pompous Presbyterian, a lot of problems we are experiencing now because of what he did and should have done. There was a riot in Houston involving a woman, black woman, who was falsely accused of something by the Houston police. They were very racist at that time. And they dragged this woman out in the street half naked and beat her. And a black soldier, there was an all-black regiment stationed at what was called Camp Logan at the time, came to her aid, and a riot ensued, and other blacks got involved. And what had happened was there was a rump court-martial, and this is these things happened. There was also the Brownsville massacre involving another group of black soldiers in the Teddy Roosevelt administration. These guys served the Union and the American Army and the United States faithfully, but their rights were never upheld because they were black and considered second-class citizens, but they were cannon fodder to be used when necessary and were used. And we have a similar situation today with people like Steve Neri and other young men whose rights are violated and are just considered they're expendable. But anyway, the upshot of it was one of the worst court-martial trials and rump trials in the history of the American military. Five soldiers were hanged, and there were others, and Woodrow Wilson refused to commute some of them. The evidence was destroyed. There was no due process, even with what was called the Articles of Revolution, Articles of War at the time. This was predated what is known as the Universal Code of Military Justice, UCMJ. And this is starting to come light. Historians are taking another look at this. This happened in 1918. In 1971, we had the Watergate team invaded, burglarized the office of Daniel Ellsberg, and we know what happened. I always bring this up to these arrogant lawyers with their bar card and conference on them, infallibility and untouchability and all of that. Well, in Watergate, all the lawyers involved went to prison. The accountant walked. That was Maurice Stan, Secretary of Commerce. So that's something to keep in mind for all these arrogant lawyers who, when you confront them about their lack of ethics and their outrageous, arrogant conduct. You can just say, in Watergate, all the lawyers went to jail, the accountant walked. And then, of course, here in San Francisco, the biggest slaughter of lawyers, a law firm, occurred at 101 California. We'll put that up so people can not forget that. And then, let's see what else happened. That's pretty much, this has been a quiet day in history from what I've been able to find out. We'll be bringing up more things next week. It's interesting. On Labor Day, it's kind of funny, the grandnephew of one of the founders of the American labor movement, he's working, nice kid, he's working in a non-union shop. It's kind of funny, I asked him about it, and he says, yeah, that's my granduncle. But he's happy, and this may be the way things are going. And also, I understand the AFL-CIO had a rule which one union was not to raid the membership of another. We've got a problem, or they have a problem, with the SEIU and Andy Stern and the commissar, self-appointed commissar of American Labor, was raiding another union run here in San Francisco by a guy named Saul Rosselli. And so this split is occurring, and of course this is power grabbing, and it just goes to show you what happens with these people when the media doesn't focus on them. This is just starting to come out. I'm going to play another one of our interviews that I did. This is in the archives, and it has to deal with also another subject about a major pet food company, Nutro, which is one of the biggest companies that make pet food in the United States and also exports abroad. They have a big lawsuit, and their law firm was one of the biggest in the country, Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, and they were accused of foul odors coming out of their plant, but we'll get into this. I want to play this interview first. Valerie Ferguson was with Radio Moscow, and she married an Australian diplomat employee attached to the Australian consulate here in San Francisco, and I happened to interview her. Great voice. And our topic is why Russian dogs aren't fed Purina what they are fed. Here goes.
Hello, my friends. This is Peter Paul. Welcome to Animals and Ideas. Today, my guest is Valerie Ferguson, who is an emigre from the Soviet Union. She's now living in San Francisco, and she's going to give us her perspective. She was formerly in the media also in the Soviet Union. She's going to give us her perspective on animals in the Soviet Union. Welcome to the Animals and Ideas, Valina.
Hi.
Never grab the microphone.
Oh.
Okay. Welcome to Animals and Ideas, Valerie.
Good morning, Peter Paul.
Valerie, when you were in the Soviet Union, what kind of animals, what kind of pets, like, are there borzois, German shepherds? What do the Russian people have as pets?
All kind of dogs, all kind of cats, and birds.
Birds in the Soviet Union?
What
kind of birds?
Parrots, singing birds.
Now, I think it's in Tolstoy, or at least in the movie version of War and Peace, we saw borzois hunting wolves. Do the Russians use their dogs today to hunt?
Yes, if they live in the country. But very few borzoi left in Russia.
Uh-huh. Why is that? Is that because it's a royal dog?
Yes, they're very tender. They're very susceptible to all kinds of diseases. They're very tender dogs.
Oh, you mean they're sensitive?
Yes, they are.
What about cats? What kind of cats do the Russians like? Like Siamese or what?
They have Siamese, domestic cats, and we don't have Persian cats.
You have alley cats in Moscow?
Oh, sure. We have plenty of them.
What do they feed them?
They eat on the garbage. Or people leave them some food, and there's plenty of food for the cats in the alley in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking to an Australian journalist, and she said that she notices less animals in American cities. Now, do you have the same perspective since you lived in the Soviet Union? Do you think we have less animals in our urban areas?
Yes, indeed you do. We have more animals. They're allowed in all apartment buildings. In all
animals? Dogs, cats,
yes,
and...
dogs, cats. they allowed everywhere you can have two or three. Only if your neighbors object when you have too many or they make noise.
They bark at midnight?
Sometimes. And
what happens? Do you get a knock on the door from the police?
Yes, there was one case when my neighbor went to jail because of it.
A barking dog?
No, he bought a policeman. They tried to break in her door and the dog
Bit the policeman, so he went
yes.
to jail because his dog bit the cop.
She went to jail.
Oh, she went to jail, huh? They sent her to Siberia?
Yeah, well, I think she got 1 year or so, so to speak, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's for sure.
Do they have pooper scooper laws in Moscow? I mean, do you have to clean up after your dog's mess on the street?
Not really. We have...
they have the same problem we have here about crap on the streets?
No, we don't. Because many apartment complexes, they have a big park, one part for the children and one part for the dogs. You can walk your dogs. So,
oh,
it's
so the dogs have their area to dump
sure.
in.
Yes, they have a lot of area.
Uh-huh. Now you can't take the dogs into the children's area, can you?
Well, you can take small dogs if the parents don't object.
Do the Russian commissars and the people that you saw in the media, the wealthy people, do they have dogs like poodles or the more expensive dogs that you'd see in America?
Oh, they have. German Shepherd, it depends on...
What we call pedigree dogs.
Preference, yes. And German Shepherds, they'll register with the army.
Uh-huh. Now, what about veterinary services? Now, they have free medical care in the Soviet Union. Do they have free veterinary care for animals?
Yes, we do, but injection maybe it can cost you a few rubles.
A few rubles, huh?
Yeah, but they're obligatory.
Uh-huh. So they have like, you have to have rabies shot and
yes.
distemper and all that, huh?
Yes, we do.
Now, what about horses? Do you see many people with horses today in Russia?
Only in the country, but people don't own private horses.
Now, what about the exotic pets like anaconda, snakes, the more exotic fish? Do Russians like exotic pets?
They like, but they're not allowed for everybody to have them.
Who has them?
Some trainers in the circus uh-huh. and in the south, they can have a monkey or a tiger. Uh-huh. And we had an accident with the lions and tigers, which attacked the members of the family, finally.
So you wouldn't expect to see Gorbachev's wife walking a cheetah down Moscow, would you?
No.
Down Moscow streets?
No.
Okay. What would you tell, what is your observations of who has more pets in Russia, the women or the men?
I think the women.
Is that because there are more women in the population?
Yes.
What do women prefer? Is it dogs, cats, or birds, fish?
Both.
Oh, women prefer birds, and the men have
both.
The dogs? Oh, both. Huh? So men have what, mostly dogs?
Men have the dogs. If it is a family, they have dogs as well, and they can have a cat as well, too.
Uh-huh.
Some family has two dogs, because before they were married, one of them, each of them own one.
So the apartment owner, in this case the state, says they can't keep the dogs out.
No, this is not the case, because it is the...
It's not like San Francisco, where it's in your lease if you can't have a pet, huh?
No, not at all. You can have two or three of them, if they don't violate the house rules. And.
You mean like run up and down and bite?
Yes.
Now, if a dog continually bites somebody or the cat scratches somebody, would they be, would they get the dog taken away or, what would happen?
They will take you to veterinary clinic for observation.
So that is mandatory in Russia, huh?
Yes, and the owner, the victim can sue the owner.
Oh, really?
Even can get dog destroyed.
That's kind of unusual because people really fight. Do they really have these many problems though with urban pets in Russia?
No.
So it's pretty well regimented, huh?
No, but the last news I heard, the government made the owners of the dogs, especially, pay a tax $100 a year.
You mean of certain types of dogs?
all dogs.
$100 a year?
$100 a year.
What would that translate into rubles? How many rubles would that be?
Well, it would be like 100 rubles or equivalent.
So you're going to have to pay to have an animal?
Yes, because of the food shortage.
Now, what do the Russian dogs eat? We didn't ask that.
The Russian dogs eat what their owners eat. We don't have a dog food.
No dog food, no Purina or Alpo.
Food. They eat very wholesome meals, mm-hmm. and the owners are cook for their dogs.
Mm-hmm. So they eat a lot of borscht, huh?
They eat a lot of meat. They eat fruits, vegetables. Mm-hmm. The dogs is very good in Russia.
So they're healthier than a lot of American pets, huh?
Yes, I can say so.
Valerie, thanks for being on Animals and Ideas.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We're speaking to Valerie Ferguson, who is a Russian emigre, who was formerly in media herself in Moscow. She's now living in the United States. This is Peter Paul for Animals and Ideas. Thanks for listening.
Well, that's one of our many interviews in the archives done at KLW with a program called Animals and Ideas, and also Western Public Radio here in San Francisco at Old Fort Mason. Excuse me. yeah, I've still got this bloody cold. Now, since we're on the topic of animals, here's the case that I'm still doing legal research and looking up jury awards and judgments. Now, here's a case that just came down 2 months ago. Pet food maker denies that its facility emitted a strong odor, and the verdict was defense. And what happened was, the allegation was, a group of residents in Victorville, California, complained of an alleged odor emanating from the Nutro products. You know, they make Nutro and dog food and several other so-called natural dog foods, but they're pretty expensive. Anyway, complained of an alleged odor from the manufacturing facility at the Nutro Way, which is probably a business park. The homeowners who neighbored the facility complained about the odor, which emanated from the baking of the company's dry pet food. Nutro investigated the matter and eliminated the odor in July of 2008. However, more than 400 angry homeowners sued Nutro Products. They alleged Nutro created a legal nuisance in regard to the emanating odor. The mass action was consolidated into one initial trial in which 24 individual claims were tried together. So what had happened was, the big Nutro's law firm, and it's a big company, was a Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, which is one of the major law firms in the state of California, politically connected. One of their partners was a former federal judge. Of course, that doesn't mean much. He's not ethical or competent. And we'll get into one of the these legal myths about lawyers. But anyway, what had happened was the defense had an odor expert, odor psychologist, and this is a new one, who claimed that the plaintiff's perceptions of and reactions to the alleged odor were exacerbated by a few community members who passed out flyers and took other actions to instigate the community, causing other neighbors to experience the odor as more intense and frequent than it was. Well, this is really cutting corners here. The defendants claim that this caused a negative bias in the neighborhood. The defendants' expert economist contended that the facility's social benefit, including the creation of jobs and contributions to the neighborhood, outweighed the alleged intrusion of the odor required by state law when dealing with this kind of mess. Anyway, what had happened was, The plaintiffs in this case lost. Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher won the lawsuit for Nutro, and Nutro claimed that they had cleaned up or suppressed the offending odor. But it makes you wonder what's really in Nutro pet food. Now here's another case, another animal case, and this is why you should not let you shouldn't be petting strange animals, even on the street. We have this happen often. People will come up and see a dog, and they'll instinctively or they'll let their kid pet the animal instead of asking, can I pet your dog, which you shouldn't let them do. Anyway, well, here's the case. This happened in Fresno County, and it came as in May of this year. Girl, age 2, was infected by bacteria from petting zoo. And the settlement in the case, this child, this is real damage. $2,150,000. That's quite a chunk of change. Of course, the lawyer gets one-third. What had happened was this two-year-old child went to this petting zoo at a Fresno fair. She became sick and developed hemophagocytic uremic syndrome, HUS. I never heard of this before. Anyway, through her guardians, she sued the 21st District Agriculture Association, which is operating as the big Fresno fair. And what had happened was she contended that the child, her plaintiff, her lawyer contended that she contracted a strand of E. coli at the petting zoo, and that the zoo knew about this beforehand and did nothing to correct the situation. Anyway, it's a long case, and they contended that the hand-washing facility at the petting zoo was not adequate enough to prevent contraction of this E. coli, which was disastrous for this child. Anyway, excuse me. She, let me get the right one here. The child injured her eye, her kidneys, and remember, this is a child. And so they settled for a big chunk of change, one of the biggest ones I've seen, $2,150,000. So the lesson is, keep your hands to yourself. Don't be petting strange animals or any animal, and wash your hands if you do. Be very careful, even with your own pet. And, of course, another thing, we do, and I've advocated this over the years, having enclosed run areas for dogs, but there's also water there. The problem is that some dogs will put their paws and wash their paws in the water. They're picking up all of this bacteria and other germs from the ground that they're running in, and we've had this problem. It cost us quite a bit of money. Giardia. And the dogs get that. It's a disease that wears them down, and it's costly to deal with. You got to have a special diet and be very careful. But it's also what is known as zoonotic, and it's transmissible to human beings, and it's worse than the flu, according to people who have caught it. So the best thing is what you don't know about ignorance is not bliss, and what you don't know can hurt, harm, or cost you. And in this case, it can cost you quite a bit as well as your health. So be very, very careful. Be very clean. Wash your hands. It's not being there's a syndrome about people who wash their hands all the time. But that's, in today's world with all the diseases that are easily contractible, you've got to be extra careful because health costs, as you know, are expensive. Medical care, the time loss, going to the doctor, if you have to go to the emergency room or the clinic, awareness is protection. Now, here's another case, and this is one of my other favorite areas where people will inflate the value of a house. This is an Oakland, California case. Buyer claims sellers inflated the price of the house. They knew it wasn't worth what they were trying to sell it at. So what happened was when the buyers had bought the house and when they found out that the price had been inflated and it wasn't worth the value, they sued. And so they got $686,022. So this is going on all the time because, as we know, you ought to know by now that a lot of the real estate, and I've said this for the last 10, 15 years to people, that you look at the property tax taxation on these houses, and the taxation is not relative. It doesn't make sense for the taxation to be as low as it is if the house is as the owners claim, is worth more than it's being taxed at. And even with Jarvis Gann, limit on property tax here in California and elsewhere. So the thing is that be very careful. Buyer beware when you're looking at these houses, even at these foreclosures. So we'll get into more of this because I did a lot of real estate investigations and things for the law firm. Being legal research and all. So anyway, we're going to end real quick with this, and we'll be back Tuesday. I hope I'm feeling better. Something is going around with us in this area. Something is always going around. So let's end real quick with this.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in. So, folks, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. My voice is going. Thank you for listening. Come back Tuesday. Okay.